Hey, it's me, Paul, calling Ben for the podcast. Hey, Ben.
So check it out.
You'll notice that I'm in a different location. I am using the mobile rig that Jennifer put together for her mobile book recording. She said I could use it.
But you better not touch any important settings.
Well, no. This is the thing, is that she has her downstairs one. And so I'm using this one. Now for all future things. It's pretty nice, actually. Oh, look, it's Edward. It's Edward.
Listen. Did you smell something? Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going all right. Speaking of which, I have not seen the new Ghostbusters.
Ah, I have not seen that either.
I'm not planning on seeing it until it comes to some sort of streaming service. And this is just because I'm not horribly interested.
Yeah, I'm not going to the movie theater anytime soon.
Exactly. Yeah, not worth dying over. Although, now, from what I hear, nobody's dying ever again. So that's nice.
What? Where did you hear that?
I'm kidding. But I'd believe it if someone told me, like, if someone wearing a hat told me, I'd probably go, that guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Has to be someone wearing a hat, sitting in their truck, like, probably on a break from work. And they're real mad about something. And they're just like, no one's dying ever again. Why are people talking about people dying all of a sudden?
It's not going to
happen, people. I know a bunch of people and none of them are dead. What are you all talking about? Anyway. You know how when you hear your voice, okay, do you remember when you were a kid, you had like a tape recorder or something, the first time that you heard your voice played back to you?
Yeah.
And it's weird, right? You're like, I sound like that? That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right now, because of the quality of the headphones that I'm using, and the fact that I'm using this microphone not next to a heater that's on, I'm freaked out every time that I start talking because I'm like, wait, is that how I sound?
Well, you should never listen to the show then because it is how you sound for about an hour.
I never listen to the show. Hey, now listen to this. This is nice. What with this closer recording, I'm actually able to use lower tones and hear the resonance of my lower voice in my chest when I'm talking. And it's
the resonance?
Pretty cool. Resonance?
Resonance.
I can hear the resonance in my chest.
Everybody has a little Jesus in them.
Those guys never shut. There he goes. Get him. Oh my gosh. To this day, I contend that improv is wasted on audiences. I think the stuff that we did at Annex Improv was the best. Go inside the gorilla that is inside. How did the gorilla, do you remember how the gorilla and David Hasselhoff matched up to one another? Was the gorilla inside the hollowed out body of David Hasselhoff? Was David Hasselhoff inside the gorilla, or was that a completely different thing?
I don't remember that. My memories from those times are very scattershot, because aside from improvising, I was also responsible for the space. So I was like always paying attention to make sure that like nothing got broken, or like that a chair didn't get dragged across the floor and create marks. But I do remember one instance, one thread, where it was you and me, and we were, I think, running from zombies.
I was just about to talk about this. Brett was doing it. Brett was sort of leading the thing.
Yeah.
And I was, this is exactly the thing that I wanted to talk about. So this is crazy. and Brett Fetzer led us up, you know, fairy tale writer, story writer, playwright Brett Fetzer led us through an entire zombie apocalypse thing. And the thing that was great, spoilers for a thing that no one is ever going to see.
For an improv exercise we did 15 years ago.
And in the end, we were trying to make our way to a military base.
Yeah.
And in the end, the military shot us. And the great thing, the twist was that they knew that we weren't infected. Yeah. It was just their protocol that they were killing all humans that weren't at the base.
It was great. It was pretty awesome. I mean, I remember to this day just that moment of you and I are like sitting in the car, you know, we're in two chairs, yep, and we've arrived at the space, and then Brett's arm comes up as like a cannon.
Exactly.
And it was time to go. End of the exercise.
So I'm trying to figure out how to turn off the thing that makes the screen go to sleep on this computer. Now is not the best time to do it, but it is very annoying because I keep having to restart it every like 3 minutes.
That is annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be able to tell you to do that if you were using Mac OS, but I'm not using how Linux
Ubuntu
works.
Ubuntu.
I've never worked with Ubuntu.
Studio. It's nice though. Oh, this is Ben, I gotta say, this is a very nice setup. I'm enjoying this a lot. I'm sitting on the bed. And if Edward were in here, he'd have, like, free reign to do whatever. But as it stands, I'm just gonna keep moving my finger on the trackpad whenever...
the screen goes blank.
I think the mic can actually pick it up, too. You can hear it.
Well, you know, when your screen goes blank, I can still hear you and see you.
Okay, good. Well, so, that's all that really matters. Hello.
It's not like the camera goes blank.
Yeah. Man, this is so weird. It sounds like Edward... I cannot explain why, but it sounds like Edward is in your space, not here.
I have... These Bluetooth headphones that I use, I really like them. Just when I walk back and forth to work, because they're just little black, you know, buttons that stick in your ears. It doesn't really telegraph to anybody that you're wearing headphones. It's not like they're these giant things or the white iPod, Apple headphones, but they block out all sound. Like when I have them in, but they're not on, it sounds like I'm underwater. You know, I can almost like hear my heartbeat and all that.
Yeah.
But the iPod or the headphones that came with my iPhone are like, you know, Apple, like Lightning Bolt, whatever connectors. They let in a lot more sound from the outside than my Bluetooth ones. And it was interesting because when I was walking past, I walk over I-5 to get to Annex. And when I was normally when I walk over, I don't hear the traffic at all. But wearing these white Apple headphones, it was like I would turn up the volume on the music, and it sounded like the volume of the traffic was getting turned up as well. I couldn't like overpower it.
I wonder if it's by design, like they.
I mean, it's gotta be
these headphones, right?
Yeah.
They don't have this feature, but there's a feature that Betty's noise-canceling headphones have, that you can actually not just turn noise-canceling off, but actually use the noise-canceling speakers to amplify the sound around you.
Yeah.
With your music, so that like, if somebody's talking to you, you can just hit a button and it'll
do that. See, and I actually want headphones like that, because I don't know how many times I've said, come into the building and have my headphones on, and somebody's here, and even though my music's off, I can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
I like that feature, but for these headphones, I just want to be able to figure out how to turn it off.
The there's a thing called, what is it, open back headphones, I think they're called. I don't remember exactly what the word for it is. But they're designed specifically to let in ambient noise besides your music.
Yeah.
Which sounds, you know, kind of interesting. I don't like it, though.
I want to shut everything out.
Exactly. One is the noise canceling on this is really interesting. Like, when I turn it off, because I do some... That's how I deal with people talking to me. I turn the noise canceling off so that I can hear them a little bit better. But when I turn it off, it's amazing how much sound it's actually blocked out.
Yeah.
Vent sounds, things that you just normally, your brain eventually gets used to anyway. It's like, whoosh, as soon as you turn it on. But the way the noise canceling works, I don't know exactly. It basically plays a... It plays a cancellation wave, like the peaks of one. I don't know exactly how it works, but it cancels the peaks of one and the valley of the other get played at the same time, so that, hey, Edward, everybody, what's up?
What's he barking?
What are you doing? I don't know if anybody's there. It might just be him in the room. Edward, where are you? You're not here, are you? No, you're outside the room. Oh, there
you
are.
He's in my space.
Wait, he is here. Edward, come on, buddy. What? Oh, he's... Okay, you can't see. Here, I'm going to lift this up so you can see, bud.
Oh, God. Ooh, it's interactive.
His tiny steps. Can you see them?
Yeah.
They're being blocked by the giant fox plushie. So he can't get up here. Let's see if he'll come. Edward, where are you, buddy?
For those of you listening at home, Paul has left and is rescuing the dog from the floor.
Come on, buddy.
All I can see on the feed is his knee. And he's coming back up. And I'm assuming in just a sec we are going to see the grand reveal of...
Here, Edward. Sorry.
Nope. Guess not.
Edward, come over here. Come over here. Edward.
You know, I've learned that if a dog doesn't want you to pick it up, you probably shouldn't pick it up.
It's a small enough dog that I can deal with it. Microphone fell down. Hey, everybody.
Jesus Christ. Every time I see a dog, I think,
jeez.
Can I take it? Like, if that dog and I got into a fight, I want to be able to win.
That's why I got a wiener dog. Hey.
Bob Saget.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
Which is sad because he and Norm were you know, brothers.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
And, for those of you who are listening to this, and by those of you, I mean Ben. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I've completely screwed up this microphone.
So right after Norm MacDonald died, Bob Saget had a very heartfelt goodbye on his podcast. And listening to that again is just heartbreaking now, knowing that Bob has died less than a year later.
Yeah. Hey, anybody? Maybe it's Jennifer? Jennifer? Hey,
what's
Jennifer?
Going on over there?
Okay, I'm going to use my phone and call Jennifer
Penny,
really quick.
Penny.
This is really fun.
Are you trapped? What do you have to call for help?
Someone is doing something. And can you hear it on your end? Maybe you can't.
I cannot hear a thing.
This is a very sensitive microphone.
I'll be able to hear it when I get your audio file.
Exactly. Hey, are you tuning a ukulele? Could you do me a favor and close the door to the room? Thank you very much. So, yeah. She was tuning the ukulele. I got her ukulele for Christmas.
Thank
you.
It's much more distracting than, say, a dog barking.
Yeah, maybe not. He's up here now.
The microphone.
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
Hey, it's Edward.
He's like, what are we doing upstairs? We normally do this in the basement.
Exactly. That's what she said. Hey.
In the murder basement.
That's what... She was the murderer the whole time. Okay, so... I will guarantee to you, you will still be able to hear the ukulele tuning. But I've done what I can. All right, so...
I've not seen the latest episode of Boba Fett, but I have seen the second episode. What I hear is the White Savior episode.
Is it the White Savior episode, though? I ask you.
That is the critique that I have heard. Now, if no one had told me that, I would not have figured it out on my own. But I am not very tuned into such things anyway. But, you know, he's a white dude. He's Kiwi. But, you know, he's got some... He's not completely... He's not, like, pale like me. He does have some non-white ethnicity to him. But he is a white person leading a tribe... And, you know, saving them from something.
Yeah, I don't know. The actor who plays Boba Fett was in a movie called Once Were Warriors, which was all about New Zealand and the effects of colonization on indigenous people. So I feel as though the actor... himself.
Tomorrow
I don't want to. I don't want to use.
Probably
the term,
has some Maori in him, I guess.
Gets a pass, but has explored the other end of that spectrum. I guess is what I would say.
Yeah.
Have you seen Once Were Warriors? If you haven't,
I
recommend
seen
it, seeing
it. But you got to also look at like who wrote that episode. Jon Favreau, a very white person, wrote that episode.
Yeah, Jon Favreau is pretty white. Here's what I would say is at the core of it, right? The very, very core of it, you have George Lucas writing the Sand People first.
Right.
And they're the things that Obi-Wan Kenobi says about the Sand People is very colonial, right? So you could definitely say that there is a piece of, at the very root of it, there is a piece of that trope for sure.
Yeah.
And you know what do you see next? You see that Boba Fett is very competent, and he ends up helping these people because he knows things that they don't about the, you know, the world they live in and all that. I wish you had seen episode 3 because then I could move into some other things about it.
I saw the post on Twitter. I'll have seen it by this point next week.
I'm talking about exactly it something that leans itself into what you're discussing now.
Ah.
Yeah, I can't do it, but there's more stuff that happens. That's all I'll say. There's more stuff that happens. And in a way, I'm going to talk about Madame Bovary for a second. Okay. Madame Bovary was a novel that I read it when I was in, high school. And one of the things they said about it is that you get the sort of romantic version of, you know, this woman is going to take poison and die, right? And in most books, she takes the poison and she dies. And, you know, the heroine takes the poison and she dies and she's lying on the bed and all pale and all that kind of stuff. Madame Bovary, they spend a long time describing how she dies and all the things that happen to her and things like that. In my opinion, for a Disney Plus TV show, Book of Boba Fett, even in the first two episodes that you've seen, explore the tropes of the loner, the things of that nature, in a way that a lot of people are mad about Boba Fett. Not this part, but they're mad because he's not as cool as they want him to be. You know, he's a yeah. he's a multiple complex character, and I think that carries through even after the events of episode two. Like there are nuances to him, I would say.
Are you enjoying the show?
I am really enjoying the show. I like it a lot. People might dislike it, but everything that they've disliked so far, I've been like, I do not mind.
Who said on Twitter that on episode three, he couldn't even make it past the title card. A very, like, judgmental friend. But,
is this someone that I know?
No, no one you know.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'll talk to you afterwards on it. But, I like it. I like it. There are people who, I mean, you saw, again, the post on Twitter, someone going, this isn't... The thing that I copied and then talked about was someone posted this screenshot and said, this isn't Star Wars. And it's like, it's Star Wars. It may not be what you like, but it is Star... Anything...
It's not your job to decide what Star Wars is. People exactly. are paid to decide what Star Wars is. And these people made this show.
And I think John Favreau is doing a good job. I like it. And I felt the Hutt
twins was a little ridiculous.
Oh, but they're canon. He didn't make that up.
No, but having them be twins, you know, sort of like hutting all over each other was a little... Like, we know who Jabba the Hutt is.
Yeah.
I just felt that it was a little... I don't know. Star Wars has this problem where a lot of... things in the world are more acceptable to children than adults. You look at the Ewoks, you look at Jar Jar Binks, and I think the Hutt twins kind of play into that, where, you know, it plays to a younger audience, but the older generation is like, why is this childish thing in my sci-fi?
Yeah. Oh, you thought that the Hutt twins were too childlike?
I know they were too cartoony.
Okay. Well, I want to say, and I could be wrong about this, I was looking it up and then I stopped because it was going to take me too long. But I think that they were introduced in either the comic books or one of the animated series. So I think that it is possible that we are meeting people that were introduced in stories more for children.
I just assume that everything that I am missing so much in these TV shows because I have not seen every single cartoon. I have not read every single comic, you know. I'm sure there are little fan service moments for people who have seen the entirety of, say, the Clone Wars or Rebels.
Well, so, yeah, you know, I mean, Ahsoka shows. Tano. Right? Is that right? I think that's...
Something like... Yeah.
So that character... Like, people have watched that character in animated form for a very, very long time. So seeing that character in The Mandalorian... Probably pretty... pretty great.
I know that people flipped out over that.
Yeah. So in the same way, I think the twins are already, you know, canon... before this story happened. But yeah, so
is the ukulele tuning getting to
you? That stopped, but then Betty came out and started talking to Jennifer, and as soon as that happens, Edward just flips out. I don't get what it is. I'm worried that it's some sort of psychic thing, not psychic thing, sorry, like emotional thing. Like he like he's trying to protect me from her, or like thinks that she's being too loud, and he's trying to manage her for some reason.
Yeah.
Right? I think that he believes that he's older.
He's a rescue, right?
No. Well, yes, but no.
Did you get him?
We got him, like, would have been about 4 years ago now. No, he's 4 years old. It would have been about 2 years ago now, maybe a little bit more. COVID really has messed up my sense of time.
yeah.
A little bit. Oh, well, hey, let's talk about that for a second. COVID.
We have lost about 2 years.
Happening. There is news from the CDC. It's now the 13th of January, 2022. CDC, members of the CDC have said in several different forums that a lot of people are going to get it now. If you're vaccinated, you're going to get it. If you're, you know, and I saw a headline or an online headline for the Washington Post, because then I went to look for it. I couldn't find it. Where they said a lot of people who, quote unquote, did the right thing are going to get COVID. How are you going to deal with it? Here's how to deal with it emotionally. And it was like, you know how I'm going to deal with it? I'm going to remember all the other times that things that were stupid happened and go, oh, look, another stupid thing that happened. You're Gen X, right? I think.
Yeah. Of course.
This is what we do. This is our general, oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I actually have noted that some millennials have gotten mad at Gen Xers in a really weird way, because they said that the parents of millennials, the Gen Xers, are super selfish. And I'm like, are Gen Xers the parents of millennials? And I realized that some millennials do have Gen Xers as parents. Mm-hmm. And the millennials who had Gen Xers as parents had 20-year-old parents, usually.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, could you imagine your parents being, you know, 10 years? Well, wait, how old were you when you...
My parents are relatively young. They were both 26 when I was born.
When you were born. But yeah. When you were growing up, they were older. Do you see them as... Oh, sorry. Yeah, as you got older, so did they, Ben. And this is what I'd like to say about your parents. Did they strike you...
journalism there, Paul.
Did they strike you as being selfish to you when you were growing up?
Well, every kid feels that about their parents. Because the parents say, you know, you can't do this or you can't have this when they are doing this or having this, you know?
Yes.
So every kid feels their parents being selfish when it relates to stuff that the kid cannot do.
So the interesting question that I have now is, are we... Okay. If somebody says, if a millennial or a Gen Z person says, yeah, Gen X really screwed up the planet for us, are we really the ones screwing up the planet?
Well, we're certainly not helping.
Or is it still the boomers for right now?
Well, the boomers got it started. I think Gen X just is keeping the train rolling.
Because that was one of the things. I talked to Jennifer about this, and it was pointed out during our discussion that Karens, when people complain about Karens, most of them are Gen X folks. Now, there are some boomers, but most of the I want to speak to the manager people now are our generation.
Yeah, 40, 50-year-olds are, you know, generally early 40s to, like, I don't remember. I don't think Gen Xers are 60 yet, but maybe.
And there was another guy who was talking about fighting Gen Xers. And he's like, you know, I'll take a few of them with me. Like, talking about getting into a fist fight with them. And I'm like, this is what the problem is with generations when talking about them. Because I was like, yeah, there are definitely some Gen X jerks out there who would fist fight a younger person.
I grew up with some of them.
Yeah, I'm not one of them. This is, I don't know, it's a silly...
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm guessing that this person who says, I'll fight any Gen Xer, is also the same kind of person who's mad at everybody in the Middle East for 9/11, you know?
Yeah, this is tough. It was tough.
Grand generalizations.
Person that I unfollowed, not for that reason. He had talked about Gen X and wanting to find him. The reason was that they started asking marketing people marketing questions about, like, hey, I have got a really crazy life and a really crazy story. How would I go about selling that to people? And I feel like, okay, so the annex D&D thing that we do.
Yeah.
The reason I am doing it, I like playing D&D, right? The reason I'm doing something that is not a commercial venture, but a money generating venture tied to D&D,
hopefully,
is because it is a fundraiser for the theater.
Right.
And I believe in the theater, I believe in their mission. So that is why I'm doing it. I am very turned off at the moment at doing anything creative for money.
Really?
Like I don't want to do the books anymore. There's a cartoon idea that I wrote with this other guy, and he said, I want to start pitching this. And I'm like, you can start pitching it. I'm not writing anything more for it right now. I don't want to do anything more. And it's just because I feel like there's a real, and again, I'm not talking about you or any of our friends who are doing this for the love of things, right? I'm talking about like businesses, people who make money, like big money on entertainment things. There is a way that is off-putting to me, how they know that you enjoy doing the thing, right? And so they will pay you less than you would pay someone else to do the same amount of work, because they know that you still want to do it. So you want to, you know, I'm thinking, I'm not going to call them by name just in case, because I still like, but the funny website people that I work for, right? The people that work for the funny website were not paid well at all.
Yeah.
And it was because they were working at the funny website. And don't you want to work at the funny website? You get to work at the funny website.
We're family here.
Exactly. Exactly. The same thing. Writer for a TV show. Maybe you get paid a lot. It'd be nice if you did. One of the reasons why I subscribe to Dropout and I work, you know, to make sure that they get my money instead of other TV stations and channels and things like that, is that I get the impression that Sam Rice, the guy who runs it, cares about the people that work for him.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting thing. I don't know if you know the story behind it.
I don't.
But they were going to, the company that was funding them decided not to fund them anymore. And so he bought the intellectual property, had to let go all of the people who are working there, except for Brendan Lee Mulligan, who was their sole employee for a while. Sort of like Bruce Hall. And, you know, he was on the books, and they did Dimension 20 based off of that, of him making it and producing it. And then eventually they started hiring the people back, but it took a long time. And that was all money thing, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like if... And this doesn't make any sense because this isn't what's happening. But it'd be like if Annex were making their theater for a larger company. Like if Annex was an offshoot of Amazon for some reason. And then they said, okay, we're cutting Annex. We're not doing Annex anymore. And then Steven bought it.
Right.
And brought it back up. It would be that sort of thing. It was a big gamble. It worked out. I like them. And you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, that's not how it happened, fine, let me know how it happened. But that's the impression.
Don't
I get
email
from
us
everything
at benzemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Yeah, exactly. Call us at B10 Lung Lang.
Oh god, don't call us.
Has anybody called us? Probably not.
No, nobody's called us. Nobody's written into the email address.
Which is fine.
As Steven says, we are actively hostile to our audience. And we pay no attention to people who are listening now. We only talk about the people who listen in the future.
So this is what I do. I do this podcast. Highlight of my week doing this podcast.
Well, that's good. That's nice to hear.
Also, I am now going to be playing a Savage Worlds campaign. Savage Worlds is a game that is sort of like GURPS, if you're familiar with GURPS at all. It's a setting agnostic role-playing game system. So you can throw in any setting. Are you familiar with Rifts, the old Palladium game?
Nope.
Well, there's a you know, lore and storyline around Rifts. It's an interdimensional kind of situation. And you can play whatever character you want to, basically. And so I am playing a monkey with a ray gun. It's basically Super Rocket Monkey's brother. But I'm altering some of it for this this world. But it's like he's like a sort of a Gromit from a Wallace and Gromit character.
Yeah.
I mean, situation where he doesn't talk. And he
screams in monkeys.
He can make things out of anything. But nobody can really, I mean, they can tell him what to do, but he can't explain to them what he's doing. He'll just be fixing things and stuff. And he goes, like that kind of. So it's a cross between Curious George, Gromit from Wallace and Gromit, and Animal. Because that's the other thing, is that he doesn't. I took Impulsive is one of the things, and Curious.
Yeah.
So he always looks into things and gets into trouble. So that's his basic thing. So I do that. That's going to be Session Zero is this Friday. So that's cool. My home D&D group, every single one of them are vaccinated. Who works with the public isn't. Everybody is vaccinated.
We talked about this last week, and you had questions.
I didn't know if one guy was, and he is.
Okay.
But one of them, who works with the public, is not comfortable meeting. That brings us down to four people. And I said to them, look, let's see how this thing goes. I'm going to check in with you again on Friday. That's tomorrow, and see if you want to play or not. And so far, everybody wants to play. They're all vaccinated. They all... You know,
I mean, things are getting shut down. I'm surprised we're not going into lockdown. I think the government has just given up and won't like destroy the economy in deference to public health anymore. I think because we just have COVID fatigue, and when the CDC comes out and says 90% of the population is going to get the Omicron variant. You know, but if you're vaccinated, it's like having a cold, you know, you're not going to go to the hospital. I think everybody's like, fine, let me have it and get it out of the way.
And then it's one of the situations, hey, where there's a news article. It's like, here's why you shouldn't just have it and get it out of the way. Exactly. Long COVID. Hey, you know, so the big thing
still
is.
Still don't know. We still don't know what the long-term effects are.
Yep. And no tests. No tests around anywhere, you know, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see. It's not my house that they're playing at. It's this other guy's house. So I'm leaning on him as the canary in the coal mine to figure out, like, how they all feel about it.
Yeah. I'm in pre-production for a movie I'm shooting in... beginning of February.
Really?
It's an independent production. It's a vanity project. It's a puppet movie based on a Latin myth. But we're supposed to be shooting at the producer's house. And I'm like, as of now, plans are still 100% going forward, but are we going to be shooting at the producer's house with, you know, 10 people in the living room? You know, it's I have my doubts.
Oh, this is funny. All right, so before we started shooting, I had this idea that there's a pop-up tent. And I was like, oh, I could shoot inside the pop-up tent. That would be a nice neutral background. I opened it, and it was way too big because I didn't think about it. I told Jennifer, so I made one mistake, and that was opening up the pop-up tent in the house. I tried to shut it, and I broke one of the rods.
Uh-oh.
And so it's all screwed up, so we have to throw it out. So I got some bolt cutters, and I was cutting it so that I could throw it out. And I've got these weird... and after I was doing it, I was like, it's weird. It feels like I have all these little splinters all over my hands. And I realized just now, fiberglass rods. Oh, and I was cutting them with bolt cutters. Maybe there's some problems there.
You might have actually inhaled some of that stuff, too.
Hey, maybe that explains my cough and my stuffy nose. I don't know. It's weird, though. I can't taste anything anymore. I'll figure it out.
I'm sure it's nothing.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Hey, did you ever see Life on Mars, the TV show?
I didn't. There's a bar down the street called Life on Mars.
Really?
Yeah, it's apparently it's created by a local DJ.
Oh. Well, Life on Mars
John
is...
somebody. John in the Morning.
Oh, John in the Morning? Really?
Yeah. From KEXP.
Yeah. So, Life on Mars is a David Bowie song. But it's also a TV show. It was BBC, I believe. Might have been Channel 4. It's British. I get it from BritBox. And it's about a guy who gets hit by a car in 2006 and wakes up in the 1970s.
Cool.
And is he in a coma? Has he traveled through time? What is happening? So it's kind of cool. But
he wakes up in the 1970s on Mars.
Yeah.
And immediately suffocates.
So spoilers for the American remake of Life on Mars.
Uh-oh.
So in the American remake, I didn't finish watching it, but what I've heard is that the Life on Mars, like, the secret, you know, of is he in a coma, is he, you know, because I haven't watched the British. I don't know how they resolved it, but in this one, they're apparently traveling to Mars, and he was in suspended animation and was having problems. So,
Taking a little bit too literally.
The reason I mention it is you're familiar with the sequence in A Glitch in the Matrix. The same basic concept. So that's kind of interesting. I thought that was weird.
Did that freak you out? Or were you like, hey, they took that idea?
You know, I've talked about this a little bit on TikTok, but I'll tell you about it now too. I have remembered now, back when I was a little bit more crazy than I am now, watching a TV show where they told an exact same joke that I told.
Yeah.
And said, they stole that from me. Not thinking through the fact that that was written in a notebook of mine. Never told it to anyone. It was a joke that I had written, you know, or thing. And they're not reading my joke book while I sleep. You know, the idea of parallel thought didn't really strike me. But what is it that Steven says, if you're one in a million, there are however many of you in China? That sort of thing. In the same way.
That sounds about right.
There are multiple, like, you know, avenues that you can take to make a joke out of a fact that you learn or, you know, local event or whatever. And the fact that you have made that joke and someone else has made a joke exactly like yours is not as suspicious as you would make it out to be when you realize that someone who is as good as you at telling jokes might arrive at the same one. And also, the one that you both arrive at, if you're going for, I think this is the funniest joke, is the, you know, the easy one. The one that you think is the smartest one, oh, I can't believe it. There's often a chance that somebody else has thought of that exact same thing. Paul F. Tompkins. I had a joke that I wrote on Twitter that says, I don't have an ironic beard, I meet it. And he told a joke at his stand-up special that you and I went to, which is, I don't have an ironic mustache, I mean it. And it was one of those situations where I'm like, no. And I was like, well, he follows me on Twitter. There's a chance that he saw it and then he picked that up. And then I remembered that thing about a musician who said, you know, well, this famous musician saw us do a set at this bar and they probably stole our song that way. And I was like, yeah. And this, I'm going back to the thing where this guy is pitching this thing that we wrote together as his thing. And Jennifer's like, well, that's your intellectual property. I'm like, yeah, sort of. But I mean, I worked on it with him, right? Yeah. Some of the ideas in there are my ideas. I worked on it with him. The effort that he is going to put into it is going to be more than mine. And she was like, well, he'd have to buy you out or something. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's probably true. I'm remembering, though, when I did my giraffe and elephant are friends thing, right? And there, you know, you sign a whole bunch of things, and one of them is, has anyone else helped you with this? And people who publish your stuff are usually pretty paranoid about that kind of thing. Like when I did the documentary, every single piece of art that I have, they're like, did you paint that? Is that your art? Is this, you know, when I did the I Can Ask Cheeseburger, there was a lot of stuff that they, you know, tied down. They had to make sure that they wouldn't get in trouble for it. If this goes, and this is the thing, is that I've already laid out, I don't want to do anything commercial with the stuff that I make anymore. But if this does go anywhere, at some point in time, this is the way I feel, at some point in time, they're going to say, or even he might go, well, Paul did this much on it. Maybe I'll see if, you know, I can get him like a story by credit or something like that. Anything that's low intensity, but that still acknowledges the ideas that I put into it would be nice. I would like
that. Well, this is a weird way to say this, but are you afraid that he's going to be successful in selling this? And do you trust this guy to be forthright with whoever buys it?
Okay, so I think, here's the thing. He and I have been working together, or had been working together. Eventually I stopped. You remember this. It's on the podcast somewhere. I'm not the easiest person to work with. You might disagree, but I don't think so. But you know, the whole, now that I know a little bit more about being autistic, I like get it. But there are times when if I don't agree with something that you want to do, that's it. I'm no longer doing this. I'm done. And we sort of had that situation. So at the time that happened, I was very adversarial about it. I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing, is I would expect him to. That is what I will say. I would expect him to do the right thing. He seems like a very stand-up guy. I think that the reason that he's going forward with it the way that he is because I told him I wasn't interested in doing any pitches or doing anything like that. he has had commercial success in the past doing things. Is it possible that this one will do something as well? Maybe. And, you know, I hope that it does. I really, you know, he's a talented individual.
Do you like what you guys wrote?
I like most of it.
Your parts?
There are a couple of things that I don't necessarily agree with, but like, okay, so one of the things
you put blackface in it, didn't you?
All over. No. But here's the thing.
It's called Blackface the Musical.
Oh no. No, but there was one thing. There's a character in there that's a golem.
Yeah.
We wrote it. You know, it's got D&D based stuff. And since writing it, there was some stuff on Twitter for Jewish D&D people. Not everybody, but some Jewish D&D people don't like golems being called golems in D&D. They like the term construct again, or construct instead, because golem has a very, you know, special place in Jewish history and, you know, mythology, folklore, all that kind of stuff. And so when he said that he was going to be pitching it, I gave him, you know, the note that, hey, you may not want to use the word golem for this. And we got into, not an argument, but he was like, well, I don't know, I don't like the word construct and things like that. And so I wrote a little thing where they were like, and this is our Iron Guy. And they said, you call him Iron Guy? They're like, well, originally we're going to get, and then somebody interrupts the guy who was saying that. He goes, there were other names that were considered, but there are marketing issues with it and things. And I like Iron Guy. Sounds all right. Iron Guy. You know, it's cool. It's like, I didn't put this in it, but, you know, the impression. It's like snakes on a plane. You know, it is what it is. You get the thing. So, you know, I'm not opposed to it doing well. I'm not opposed to him. Because here's the thing. Like, the stuff that I contributed, like, characters, basic storylines. We went through storylines for the first season and then storylines for, like, the script for the first piece, episodes for the first season, and then storylines for the seasons after that. A sort of long-form thing. So I contributed to all of those things. Now, doing the actual artwork, getting the acting people in, writing the full scripts for all the things that were outlined, all that. My plan is not to do any of that. So if he sells the thing and then does all that, he will be doing more than I will have been doing. I came up with some of the general...
No monetary compensation, but you do get a special thanks at the end credits.
Well, who knows? Who knows? The world is a very strange place. Maybe we'll all be dead before anything like that happens.
That's the spirit.
We could all die, Ben. Have you thought about it?
I was told that nobody else was going to die.
I was told that no one else was going to die. I live in the shed out by my mom's house. So the fiberglass is definitely a thing that has happened. It feels really bad, but it's not painful. It's just
like
really
on your
annoying.
Hands.
Yeah, like in my
or
hands.
Or in your lungs.
Well, no, in my hands. So okay. I had bolt cutters and I cut all of it.
Yeah.
And then I gathered it together and put rubber bands around it. So yeah, I've just got little fiberglass fibers in my hands right now.
I know what that's like. I've done that before. I've not broken a pop-up and had to, you know, bolt cutter the rods apart, but I have had instances where I've stuck my hand in fiberglass insulation and Whew, you don't want that. You want to do that a second time?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So, I believe that we are going to see each other next week. I don't think the world is going to end between now and then.
is it next week or the week after?
That the world's supposed to end?
Yeah, it's on my calendar.
Oh, okay.
And then everything after that just stops.
Exactly.
It's really nice to look at.
Yeah.
It's not next week. It's the week after when the Annex D&D thing happens.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh. Wait. Yes.
The 29th.
Okay, so, yeah, the 20th. Right.
Today's the
13th. I was thinking you were saying the weekend after this week, but it's actually two weekends after this week.
We have two full weekends until the
yes,
Annex D&D thing. Week after next.
Yeah. So I'm full on not totally booked, but I've got a lot of role playing stuff happening.
Cool.
I've got the Savage Worlds thing. I've got the Annex thing, and I've got my in-person D&D game. So two D&D things, one non-D&D thing. I think that makes it okay. There's a fight. There's a little bit of a brouhaha between D&D people and non-D&D people. Yeah, the non-D&D people, as I've mentioned before, are called the Beggars. They have a thing called Beggar Talk. And they're beggars because it comes from I'm begging you to play a game other than D&D.
Is this a TikTok thing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it started out as a Facebook thing and then became a TikTok thing. As you know, I'm not on Facebook, so I'm only on the TikTok part.
And this group just willingly calls themselves the Beggars?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the idea that, you know, again, off of I'm begging you to play... Because it was called I'm begging you to play a game other than D&D or something that effect. And then, you know, you got to shorten it somehow, and they called themselves the Beggars. So the basic idea is that D&D people, D&D 5e people specifically, don't like playing things other than D&D 5e, and they're resistant to it. And the people who are in Beggar Talk will say, why are you resistant to it? And they'll say, stop yelling at me. I like what I like. Don't make me play something else. And they're like, we can't make you play something else. And then occasionally, one of the people in Beggar Talk will say something to the effect of, you know, you're all scared. Why are you so scared?
And they sound like gray people.
We're not scared. And no, but this is the thing. This is the thing that's funny about it. Is that the people that are fighting, it's like the horseshoe thing, right? The people that are fighting on the opposite sides are very similar people. Yeah. There are people who like to get mad at each other. And those people are fighting. And most of the other people are just like me. I play D&D. I play games that aren't D&D. I like playing games. And that's it. And there are a lot of other people.
That's my story,
like that.
And I'm sticking to it.
Exactly. So no need to fight is what I'm saying. No
Can't
reason.
Can't we
for
all
it.
Just play along?
Hey, by the way, when was the last time you had Little Caesar's Pizza?
I could not truthfully answer that question.
It has gotten good. It is tasty to eat, and we enjoy it.
I don't even know where the nearest Little Caesars is. I live in an area of low volume artisanal pizza.
Yeah, I mentioned to you before that we had a hard time with that when I was in a snowstorm in Seattle. The only pizza that was open was I mentioned this. This is probably just a couple of podcasts ago. We were in a snowstorm in Seattle, and...
In your Beacon
we
Hill house?
Right next to... No, I was at work.
Oh, you okay.
And we were very close to the Sirius Pie.
Yeah.
Pizza place. And I walked over to Sirius Pie. it's right next door. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I read off the pizzas that they had, and everyone was like, can you walk a little bit further to a bad pizza place? And I was like, yeah.
This okay. A goat cheese cilantro pizza costs $45.
Goat cheese cilantro with pear was one of them, I think. I'm serious. There was one with pear on it, and I believe it was goat feta and pear.
Yeah, pear's a popular topping for artisanal pizza. I don't quite care for it myself.
Oh, and that was the other thing, is that was where, and I don't remember the exact thing of the conversation, but that was where there was a guy who was telling a conversation. There was a guy who was telling a story where he was a big jerk, but he was telling it to people like he was going to be impressed with them.
Right.
Like they were going to be impressed by it.
Yeah.
Like he said, and then she said, well, this is my car and I'm insured. And I said, well, guess what? I'm a lawyer and I can sue you. And it was like, and that was like part of the story was something like he mentioned that he was a lawyer and that she was going to get sued. And that then she decided that she wasn't going to do. And the thing that she was going to do, I don't remember what it was. I think it was just get his insurance information. I think that's what it was. Something that a normal good person would just, yes, I exchanged my insurance information for him. And he said, and I just got back in my car and drove off. And no one that
expecting
was at the table
everybody
with him,
to like applaud him or something.
Right. No one was happy about it.
Well, at least he wasn't around the wrong crowd. Speaking of jerks, you guess what got torn down last week?
Oh, Ben.
The Guild 45th.
The Guild 45th in Magnolia got torn down?
No, in Wallingford.
Wallingford. Wait a second. What's in Magnolia? Magnolia is where Chris lives. Okay, different thing. I'm all back. So the Guild 45th, where my arch nemesis used to live.
Like the assistant
manager. I'm guessing that he just had a room in there and he would just lurk like a
probably
specter.
Just peek his head out the window, seeing if people were on the wrong side of the stanchion.
Exactly. Were people talking too loud? Were they standing on the wrong side of the stanchion? I have to get out there. But now he's definitely banished.
Yeah.
And
the building is no more.
I do wonder what's up with that guy though. Sometimes.
Like, is he being a jerk to a different customer base?
Like, does he have a significant other? Is he nice to them? You know, that sort of thing. Like,
does he have children and are they taken care of?
Every once in a while, does he get this sinking feeling like someone out there is mad at me and I can't figure out why? It's possible. But hey, anyway. Speaking about it being possible, it is possible that we are at the end of the show, Ben.
It is possible. Well, Paul, it's been good talking to you.
Hey, and just so you know, with the level that I set this microphone at, where I'm at, no pre-processing needed before I send it off to you. Or post-processing, I guess. Before I send it off to you. I can just mail it like it is.
Right on. Hey. Put it in the post, stick a stamp on it.
Awesome.
Make sure it's not underpaid, so I have to put some quarters in my mailbox.
Oh, man. I wish I still had this letter. The next time you want, Mr. Goody, the next time you want a poem published in a magazine, perhaps do not send it postage due. I wish I still had it, but I don't. I was a jerk.
Mr. Goody. All right. Keep it wrong, Paul, and I'll
keep
talk to
wrong,
you next
Ben.
Week.
Keep it wrong, Ben. Talk to you next week. Oh, and look, Edward is, you can't see it. He is like he normally is.
Under the covers?
Under the covers. He crawls under there all the time, and there's nothing that I can do about it.
Probably not.
And who? It's very cute. Why would I want to? All right. See you, Ben. Keep it wrong.
Bye, Paul.